This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Klopp's farewell fairy tale is turned into a nightmare. Is it a two-horse race and will City make it four in a row? It's Tuesday, the first... No, it's not. It's it's not April, it's May. It's... Yes. Wait, what?
It's Tuesday, April 30th.
Yeah,
of course. Jesus Christ. Oh, God, this is a nightmare. It's Tuesday, the 30th of April. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Adam Howarth.
I'm Alex Michelle.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
It's here for good to win! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to the City Report Podcast, second episode of the week. If you are looking for that immediate raw reaction to City's just about victory over Nottingham Forest, make sure to go back in your podcast feed and you can find that from yesterday. Not before, though, you've listened to today's show and returning. It's been a week of return, so I'm happy. It's that time of the season. We're stretching the legs. We're getting the full band out. Adam Howarth, welcome back, mate. Always enjoy episodes with your dear self. Hope you've been keeping well.
Thank you very much. I do enjoy coming on. In my rare appearances, I did, as I said before we started recording, it's been a couple of months, so I make it out as. I think the last time I came on, we just beat Bournemouth away, which is quite a forgettable game. So, hopefully I can get a few more appearances in before the end of the season.
Yeah, you want an appearance bonus? Is that what it is? Like old Owen Hargreaves, I remember his contract was pay to play or something like that. It was mad. Do you remember that, Adam? He might have been a tiny, teeny, weeny bit too young for that one.
I mean, I remember Owen Hargreaves at City, but I don't remember him playing much. So I was like eight at the time, yeah, so I wouldn't have paid attention to the contracts anyway. And yeah, he didn't really get paid that much if he did have a bonus.
No, he did score a wonder goal though against Birmingham City in the League Cup, I remember. Alex, pretty much part of the furniture by now. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. No, I'm doing great. Great to be back. Feels like I was just on.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we'll get into it then. And like I said sort of earlier on, we'll pick up the pieces from the victory against Nottingham Forest because, Adam, it was attritional. It was hard to watch. It was difficult. But heading into May, obviously it's last day of April today as we listen to this. Heading into May tomorrow, what, 2-3 weeks of the campaign left? It doesn't really matter so much, does it, if you have one of those performances because, well, there's not that much of the season left to go. And all that matters now is getting that fourth title in a row.
Yeah, and I think obviously that game obviously came, what, 3 days, I should say, after the Brighton game. We had a lot of games in quick succession. So there's bound to be a bit of fatigue, so the performance won't be like top notch, you wouldn't expect. But I think in the bigger picture, we've been playing really well recently anyway, like particularly against Real, Brighton, then you had Luton and Villa. We scored like 4 and 5 goals. So we've been playing quite well. And I'm not that concerned by how we played against Forest, even though I did think we were poor, probably almost, if not worse, than we were against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi. And it's a big cliche, but I think at this stage of the season, it's just, it doesn't matter how you play. It's just that you win the games. And, you know, another cliche, champions win the games when you're not playing at your best. So so now we've got a week to rest before our next game. And yeah, I think the 3 points is all that matters. And I'm sure we'll play better next time out.
Well, I guess Arsenal weren't at the best and they won, and City weren't at the best and they won. So we're maybe none the wiser who the champions will be. Alex, I mean, look, City weren't great, but has the narrative not given Nottingham Forest enough credit, do you think? Because Nuno Espirito Santo, I think he said on the UK coverage, has something like 3 results against Pep from his 5 meetings or something like that. You know, I should have got the stat up, but just off the top of my head, I can't remember. Basically, he's had a decent record against Pep and it was always going to be a difficult game. They played well, didn't they, Forest? And I think maybe City were caught out a little bit with the way they set up.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think I've said this before that perhaps rightfully so, a lot of City fans, whenever there is a performance that is closer than usual, the attention turns to what did City do wrong more so than what did the opposition do right. And I think this is a case of that, where Forest were brilliant for the most part. I mean, that sort of attacking quartet of Callum Hudson-Odoi, Morgan Gibbs-White, Alanga, and Chris Wood, like, they were exceptional. Like, that is a really, really nice front four. And they set themselves up, you know, to play the way that you need to against City. And the way that, like, not necessarily sitting as deep as most teams do, sort of in that middle ground where you have, you know, some sort of attacking impetus to you. And they did really, really well for it. I think the one thing that I was a bit sort of curious about in terms of, like, being critical of sort of just how good they were and sort of taking it down a notch is a lot of the chances that they got fell to either of their wingbacks, either Aina or Nico Williams before he got injured. And, you know, just as I said, you have that attacking quartet, and then a lot of the chances were falling to the wingbacks, which was very fortunate for City because they are some of the lesser quality players on the side. So generally speaking, yeah, they were exceptional, but there was that little bit of me that was like, I feel like they could still even have done a bit better than they did. But no, full credit to them. They almost took advantage of, you know, an off day for City. And in the end, yeah, it was two moments where, yeah, just as Adam was saying, it's what champions do.
It is what champions do. And amongst that, something we didn't speak about yesterday. I want to speak about two players in particular I didn't get to mention yesterday, Kevin De Bruyne and Nathan Ake. But starting on Kevin De Bruyne, Adam, it's been, I don't know how to describe his return to the team, because it has in part been sensational, in other parts been deeply frustrating. I wouldn't necessarily say he played fantastic against Forest, but he pops up with 2 assists and probably, obviously, bar Gvardiol's header and Erling Haaland's sort of mini turning into Lionel Messi for about 30 seconds and absolutely embarrassing Mario. He had the 2 moments of quality throughout the entire game. And I guess that's maybe not defined his career at City, but that's always been the player he is. It's just about making sure those around him, as he does regress maybe physically, are able to mop up the pieces, because the legs not necessarily looking like they're there at the moment, but the quality in terms of on the ball stuff certainly is.
Yeah, it's been a weird return for De Bruyne, because we've obviously seen far better versions of him. I think, what is he now, 32? I'm not sure, but he's getting on a bit, and you can see it's starting to impact him physically a bit, because you see sometimes he'd be, back in the day, he'd be, you know, surging forward from midfield and behind on these counter-attacks. And sometimes I've noticed since he's returned, like this season, he's maybe been beaten by a defender who he maybe normally wouldn't be beaten by a few years ago. But yeah, like you say, he's always been a player where he's going to warm up into a game. He'll have he takes a bit of, you know, he's got to play a couple of bad passes before he can pick out his best one. And that's kind of what it's been like over the years.
It's like,
you know,
it's like me playing 5-a-side, except the best one doesn't come. It's just continually bad pass, bad pass, bad pass.
It's the Kevin De Bruyne red face radar. How red he gets kind of correlates to how when he turns up. But I think I've been really impressed by him on the whole since he's come back. He's had so many great moments, like that header against Brighton's just added to his repertoire. That one will be one to remember. And like you say, you know, two assists against Forest, even though he wasn't like amazing, he wasn't really influential. He got the two, those two balls were the balls that needed to be played, and the obviously Guardiola and Haaland finished the job. And yeah, I think De Bruyne still makes those impacts, and that's what separates the great players from the good. You know, they do, the good players maybe play those balls but don't get the numbers for it. But De Bruyne, he does, and that's why that's what stands him out among the rest.
Yeah, he's now on 8 assists for the Premier League season, and the leader, I think they call it the Playmaker Award, is Ollie Watkins on 12, which, you know, goes to show sort of just how good a season he's having, but also how good a half season De Bruyne has had, Alex.
Was it that stat that was like he's got the most assists in all competitions of any Premier League player, despite only playing like 21 games or something.
Jesus. I think that's true.
The Premier League tweeted it today. I think I retweeted it. Let me double check.
I think it is true, because I think he's third in Europe for assists in competitions.
And he's played about half
the games of everyone else. Yeah.
Assists in all competitions. He's got more assists than any other Premier League player. Despite playing 21 of City's 54 matches, he's got 15 assists.
I have no idea about that. That is absurd. That is completely wild. Fair play. Alex.
Yeah, I think one thing that needs to be said regarding this performance in particular is that he's 32 and he played 5 90s in a span of 15 days. And I was looking before this, because obviously I do the predictions and I'm looking at who's going to play and whatnot. And I'm thinking, if he's going to get a rest for the remainder of the season, surely it's this one, because, okay, Forrest prove a challenge regardless, and maybe Phil Foden's injury and there is illness in the end played a part in this. But I was thinking, you know, this is where you want to rest him if you're just looking at it for rest's sake. But no, he plays pretty much the full 90, and he comes away as, I guess, the man of the match. I mean, very, very loosely man of the match, I think, by more sort of like standard man of the match things, he would get it. But yeah, I mean, there's not all that much to say about him besides, you know, sitting back in wonder and amazement. I do have a question for both of you with regard to this performance in particular and how it relates to the side at large this season. Is that I've had some conversations with some friends about, has this season been defined more so by individual brilliance than in the past? Like, we look at last season and I think the general consensus is that, oh, we had this system that was in place and the system and Pep won us the treble. And this season, we haven't really had that. There's been a lot of instability. And I think the sort of counter argument to that is, or sort of the sort of thought process that from there is that, okay, we haven't had that, and yet we're still winning these games. Is it the individuals like Kevin De Bruyne stepping up in these moments and saving us? What do you two reckon on that?
Adam, do you want to tackle that?
Yeah, I can do. I do actually agree. Now you said that, it makes a lot of sense. I think last season, like you say, it was this whole system being perfectly constructed by Pep, and each player was almost tailor-made for the roles that they played. I think it's evident in so many of those players. You know, Stones in the DM role, Ake is like a hybrid left-back, centre-back, Gundogan just as the hovering about in the midfield, you know, connecting the play and popping up in the box. It just seemed perfect. And this year, we've not been able to play like that. You know, some players have been injured. Gundogan obviously left. We had to adapt in other ways. But I think, as a team, we've been good for most parts, but I think it's no secret that we've been asking for a while, you know, is this when City are going to get to their best? It's easy to forget the unbelievable unbeaten streak we're on right now, but I don't think we've been as good as we were, especially towards the end last season. And I think there's even been some games where, you know, Phil Foden, like, things might not be coming off for him. You know, he'll be trying things, but they'll evade him. But then a few minutes later, he'll pop up with a rocket from the edge of the box, do his iconic celebration and bail us out. And I think that has been the case for a lot of it. I think we are starting to see that individual brilliance carrying us through. And I think, like we were saying, De Bruyne's come back and he's producing some of that. And I think when him and Foden are on their day and playing together, it's a scary, scary, scary thought.
Yeah, it has been, hasn't it? And the Manchester derby is probably the prime example of that sort of theory of individual brilliance. Maybe hesitant to say bailing City out, because that's why you have good players on your team. And you know, what's to say a rocket from the edge of the box isn't more impressive as the 35 pass moves that City were sort of putting together in the treble season, Haaland just tapping it in. But I do take the point. And perhaps maybe in a broader sense, this is sort of maybe how football has been all season. We'll do a bit of title talk in the next part, but I wouldn't necessarily say Arsenal have been, well, apart from when they're trying to impersonate a Stoke City, Tony Pulis Stoke City team, have been overly reliant on systems. You know, they have had individual moments of brilliance. They've just come in different ways. Jesus, Real Madrid have made an entire, well, history on that sort of philosophy. And it does feel like across the football, there is less emphasis this season on tactical systems and setups and sort of getting the most of that. Possibly to say within that as well is the players are also very tired. So when you have tired players, then the cream of the crop will obviously show. And Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, Rodri, another example of that sort of really shining through. So yeah, interesting thought. Listeners, let us know what you think as well. Alex, quickly then, because like I said, title challenge talk in part two. But before we get to that, and possibly one of the only reasons the title is still in City's hands is Mr. Nathan Ake. And I've got a question from a listener that we're going to throw in tomorrow's episode about his sort of his standing and his sort of the wider opinions of him in the game. So just sort of maybe focusing on the fixture itself, the Forest performance. Dear me, what an absolutely sensational footballer he is.
Yeah, he is absolutely exceptional, and it is quite incredible, and it's a testament to the level of this squad that I personally would rank him down near the bottom in terms of center backs, generally speaking, in terms of
change
overall
do you think I guess we can throw in Akanji as well, because John Stones has been in and out the team. He's been injured, of course, but Ruben Dias ill, but he has been dropped to the bench a couple of times. Do you think Ake and Akanji is City's better centre-back partnership, if there is one?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I still think Ruben plus Stones is the best partnership when both of them are on their game. I mean, yeah, of course, when you talk about sort of in terms of a smaller stretch of time, like towards the end of the season, then okay, there's some leeway there for me to change my opinion. But no, generally speaking, I do think that Ruben and Stones are still the best, but the drop-off is not so big, and that is quite exceptional, because you won't find many better centre-back partnerships in Europe than Ruben Dias and John Stones, and yet City have one of those partnerships that could potentially rival them within the club, and we're not even talking about Yoshko Vardiol here as well, because he hasn't even been playing centre-back this season. So, yeah, I think to bring it back to Nathan Ake, I mean, yeah, he is just exceptional. In terms of pure defenders at the club, he is up there as one of the best, if not the best. And in some moments, you need that, because we know City don't defend all the time. We know there are very, I think I had a stat that was City put in the least amount of challenges in the league, had the least amount of sort of interceptions, like all those defensive stats, City ranked towards the bottom in terms of totals. And yet City somehow are in the top half of the table for, I guess, bottom half in the sense, for mistakes made and errors made. And Nathan Ake is someone who mitigates those errors, and we saw it exactly in this game. I mean, there was multiple opportunities and multiple instances where he made a last-ditch challenge. Like, there was one that got called off for offsides, but he recovered, I think, against Callum Hudson-Odoi, and I was like, how the hell did he get that challenge in? Yeah, he is just absurd, and yeah, he should get his flowers like he deserves.
Yeah, Adam, where does, and I mean from a totally individual point of view here, not in terms of partnerships and sort of playing alongside other people, because you probably make the case Saliba and Gabriel have been the best partnership in the Premier League for 12 months, going on maybe 18 months, maybe even 24 months, you know, how far back you want to go. But basically, as an individual right now, where does Nathan Ake rank amongst the best defenders in the Premier League?
It's a very difficult question, but I've always been a massive fan of Ake, even when he was at Bournemouth. I really wanted us to sign him. And I saw a tweet today actually saying Dias and Ake are both on course for four Premier Leagues in four seasons with City, which is just ridiculous. But I think in terms of being a pure defender, Ake is probably maybe level with Diaz, maybe a little bit behind. I don't know. It's hard to compare them because we're blessed with so many good ones. But I think in terms of those pure defensive abilities, he's up there with Diaz. And I suppose you can't even just say pure defensive abilities because of what he's done on the ball as well and what all the other assets he has to his game. So yeah, he's got everything, and I think he, on the whole, he deserves a lot more credit from general, you know, neutral football fans and fans of other teams. But I'd say he's, in terms of Premier League defenders, he's easily top six.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a fair placement. And like I said, we'll probably do a bit more chat about him tomorrow because we had a fantastic question from a listener. So stay tuned for that. But listeners, that'll do for part one. In part two, we will pick up the title challenge talk. God, gonna have to get that tattooed.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Into the business end, well and truly now. We will share plans about the off-season in due course, but just lapping up another Manchester City title challenge. Speaking of which, Alex, it was as you were after what I thought would be a, well, it maybe is season defining, but for other reasons. But I had this vision, I had this feeling that on Sunday, a Super Sunday to end all Super Sundays, one of the teams, be that Arsenal or City, because I think we can, after the West Ham game, we can confidently say Liverpool are, well, as good as out, if not already out. I had this feeling that one of them was going to be champions elect, basically, but that certainly isn't the case.
No, at least not looking like it right now. I think when I was on here at the end of last week, we asked the question as to whether it would go to the final day or not, and I still think so. I don't see Arsenal folding from here. I mean, they had a really tough test against Spurs, but they came through, and again, it goes back, this is what champions do, and you know, both of these sides cannot be champions come the end
of the
season.
Are we going to have Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola holding one end of the... who was it years ago did a joint man of the match? I think it was Gary Neville after one of the City-Liverpool games. He handed De Bruyne and Salah. Or was it Foden? I can't remember. But that's probably what we're going to end up with if some people get the way.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it just goes to show that the level this season is... at least very, very... I find it tough to say that the level this season is better than we've seen in terms of title races in the Pep era, let's say, because I think it is a step down, generally speaking. I mean, you just look at the points totals and, you know, there were some of those Liverpool title races that were, you know, surpassing this in terms of just the utter domination of those top two teams. But to bring it back, there is such a sort of fine margin between City and Arsenal this season. And I think this past weekend just goes to show that, you know, these two sides can come up against two very different challenges, but two very difficult challenges in their own right. And yet they still somehow find a way to push through and keep that pressure on the other side. And I think it's going to remain that way until game week 38, until the final weekend of the season, until that Super Sunday. Yeah, I don't know. I think we are in for a wild ride pretty much. It feels like we're at that point in the season where things are a bit sort of subdued because there's not as much to talk about. It's like, okay, we just need to win the remaining games now. There's not as much sort of like current event type stuff to really sink our teeth into. And yet you look at it and there is let's say, a 1 to 2 point difference, depending on which way it goes with City's game in hand, within a title race that is most likely going to go down to the final day, that is pretty much all you want as, you know, just a pure fan, as sort of a more neutral perspective. That is what you want to see. And yet it feels almost at this moment in time like there isn't that much sort of fire beneath us in a way. I don't know. It's tough to describe.
Yeah, it is sort of giving off that energy, isn't it, at the moment, Adam, that you're not quite sure which way it's going to go. And I've used this analogy a few times, so apologies for recycling, but in track cycling, when you have a 1v1 sprint race, they do a few laps, and the last lap is almost snail's pace, because you've got one sort of cyclist in front of the other, and the waiting for the other one to go, and the waiting for the other one to get sort of like make that move. But occasionally you do get these races where none of them actually make that sprint until the last 5, 10, 15 meters, and it feels a little bit like that, doesn't it, now at the moment, Adam, where City are waiting for Arsenal to blink, Arsenal are waiting and also hoping for City to blink. Do we just kind of stumble across the line and City end up winning the league? Not by default. Obviously, it's going to be a massive test in these next four games, but everyone's waiting for this to explode into life. Is there a chance it doesn't?
I think there is a chance, yeah, because to me, it seems, you know, I mentioned the City unbeaten run earlier. It just seems as though we're on that steam train, just going along, not particularly, it's not a high speed train, but it's a train that's going along and beating the teams in front of it. And even though we've got, you know, a couple of tough games, Spurs away, the big one, because obviously if we draw that game in hand, Arsenal's goal difference is superior, and then it's therefore in their hands. So it's still fine margins, and there's a lot of room for excitement and drama. But I think I do agree that I think it will end up going down to the last day, and then it's a case of whatever happens. I think the last day is quite, I wouldn't say unpredictable, but that's what it is. The Premier League is unpredictable.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. We've seen that before, haven't we? Yeah. You would have expected City to roll over Aston Villa.
Exactly. And, you know, Arsenal have got Everton at home on the last day, which, even though Everton are safe now, was it Sean Dyche's first game when he beat Arsenal as Everton manager? I'm not sure, but... There's always a possibility for Sean Dyche to pull something off in this kind of scenario. I think it will go down to the last day and see who can stand up to the test. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I have to add is if it does go to the final day, I do think it will be rather anticlimactic because, you know,
famous
knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, your famous last words, but I don't see West Ham giving City issues, especially with the game being
at
the Etihad.
West Ham, Chester City, after all.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just think, I mean, I forget exactly what the scoreline ended up in the first West Ham fixture.
3-1.
Yeah, it was 1-0 down at halftime, and Doherty scored almost immediately after. Bernardo and Alvarez, Haaland, I think, scored the third goal.
But yeah, for me, I just look at the remaining fixtures and... I mean, Spurs will probably prove the most difficult. And I think that's almost, especially if you're an Arsenal fan or someone who's rooting against City looking at it, that is almost the final game week of the season in a way. If City beat Wolves, if City beat Fulham, it's pretty much coming down to Spurs because, okay, anything can happen on any given day. West Ham can, of course, beat City. But I just personally don't necessarily see that happening given the way that they set up and given the way that this season has gone for City. It really feels like there might be a bit of sort of like anticlimactic-ness to the end of the season.
Yeah, I can see that playing out. I think when City were in this position last time around in 21-22, Aston Villa had more on the line in a sense, and obviously there was the Steven Gerrard narrative, there was the Coutinho narrative, there was the Jack Grealish narrative. Maybe Lucas Paqueta tries to show up his potential future employers and denies them a league title to sort of say, yes, I am the guy. Maybe David Moyes wants to... Well, saying that, Adam, they could still qualify for Europe. So there's a chance that it becomes this anticlimactic finish. But I agree, it does feel like if it's going to happen, it's going to be the Spurs game. But being said, look, Wolves, Fulham, they're not necessarily difficult games that you wouldn't, you know, if you're looking down the table, you'd say, yeah, okay, we'll take that. But at the same time, it can throw up plenty of issues.
Yeah, and I alluded to the unpredictability of the Premier League just then, but I was going to say my original point when I was listening to you then was going to be, you know, West Ham aren't in great form, and yeah, they're not, but they did just all but eliminate Liverpool from the title race, and it's those kind of results that you don't expect and you can't predict, so anything can happen, and it kind of reminds me of if we do beat Tottenham, we'll be going into the last day at home against West Ham 2 points clear, as we were in 2014 when we wrapped up the league against West Ham. So true. maybe it's a
had
bit of
a goal
symmetry
then,
there,
though, didn't they?
True, yeah, so true.
That could play a part.
Yeah, very good point. But I think then City's home record gets us through. But then again, we did drop points to Palace at home, so you just don't know. You just don't know. But yeah, last day, I do think it'll be last day, and yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think there was a chance, wasn't there, that it wouldn't go down to the last day had Arsenal drop points against Spurs. They could go and do that against Bournemouth at the weekend. I don't know, Bournemouth are a team in fine form. Perhaps if that was away, then maybe I would have had more confidence, but it feels early kickoff at the Emirates. They'll put on a result there. Hey, we'll preview that later on in the week. I did want to quickly, though, again, this is a topic we'll cover later on in the week, but I'd just like to get your guys' immediate reaction on the news that broke on Monday afternoon about the spending cap. Now, Alex, I've not expected you to go on and read the full dossier and understand it and sort of unpick it. Essentially, though, the too long didn't read sort of side of this is clubs will be limited around the money they can spend from the 25-26 season. It is calculated, I believe, on a sort of an algorithm based on the lowest figure that the lowest earning club, how much revenue they create, or something like that. We'll get Andrew on it and we'll get him to explain properly. But basically, City were one of the three teams who voted against it. Chelsea abstained. United, Villa, the other two from that three. It's probably going to change things quite a bit, and it's something we'll sort of cover, I guess, as we go forward. But just immediate reaction.
Yeah, I think I have 2 points to this. One is a general point, then one is relative to City. I think, generally speaking, I, for one, am in favor of these sorts of changes in terms of making the landscape a bit more equitable, should we say. I think it will do well for the sport in general and do well for the league in terms of, you know, closing that gap between the top and the bottom. And I think even, you know, obviously UK isn't part of Europe, but Europe-wide in terms of like the European football scene as well, if there are motions to sort of close the gap between leagues in the future as well, from a general perspective, I for one am sort of all for that. I think evening the playing field will result in sort of better experience all around. In terms of City in particular, you know, we do have to be a bit greedy in a sense, because we want our team, we want our club to be at the top. We want our club to be as dominant as we have been for the past 6-7 years, stretching back even the past decade and a half, pretty much. But I think there are two sides of it. One side is, okay, we still want that power, and there will be some sort of negative ramifications that come of this, because obviously you won't be able to spend as much in certain capacities. But I think the flip side of this, there might be a positive in the sense that because our academy is so damn good, it might not matter all that much. It might be sort of the silver lining of that might be it just sort of raises the platform for the academy to play an even bigger role in the first team. And, you know, you have players that come through. They might even get more opportunities in the future because City are, you know, forced to spend less and maybe can't make that one or two extra sort of luxury transfers in the summer window. And then you look to the academy to fill it in. So for me, I think like my initial reaction, as most City fans would be, is this is a bad thing. This is, you know, who's taking away our money? Why can't we spend? But I think the flip side of it is there might be some positives that actually come out of it because the academy is just so damn good.
Yeah, Adam?
Yeah, I don't think I could really put it any better than Alex, really. But I think there's so much money in the Premier League and in English football right now. You know, we know how much money's on the line in the Championship playoff final. We know what the parachute payments do for clubs that go down to the Championship. I think is it calculated so it's like you can only spend five times the lowest spend or something like that. I think
which
that's
is
what
a
I
bit
read.
Of a cop out,
which
really,
is weird.
Why don't they just have like, here's a figure, it gets, and someone will more intelligent than me will tell me why, but it gets adjusted to inflation, season on season, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
This is how much you can spend. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm no financial expert either, but I do think because of the current state of the Premier League in terms of how much money's there, I don't think it'll impact City loads. I do think, like Alex said, we won't be able to afford those luxury transfers, those, you know, the 100 millions that you're almost paying for Guardiola and Grealish, etc. But I think just because of how much money there is in the Premier League, we'll still be able to pay what we need to for our targets. And then, like Alex said, the Youth Academy, if we do look to that, because it's been so good in recent years, that's only a good thing. So, and I suppose the Premier League don't often get the decisions right in terms of, PSR and all that sort of stuff. But I think this one might be a step in the right direction in terms of the competitiveness of it.
Yeah, I agree sort of on a whole about the equity in terms of the Premier League. I mean, it feels like it's been spiralling out of control the last few years. Chelsea, Todd Bowley and stuff, you will pay for your crimes, I reckon, because some of the transfers that they've been making have just been, well, kind of embarrassing. But that's, like I said, we'll address it later on in the week. Just wanted to get that immediate reaction. But guys, thank you very much. Listeners, as always, thank you very much. Like I said, there is more reaction from the Forest game on your podcast feed. You just have to scroll back and you can catch that. But until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season running with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial running. And just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.